This Christian podcast is designed to help us walk a stronger Christian life in today's troubled world. This is God's Amazing Grace Podcast with Sean.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back once again to God's Amazing Grace. That was Steve Camp talking about that church of Laodicea. So in today's discussion with Dennis, of course, Dennis is back, and we're going to talk about the church of Laodicea and being a lukewarm Christian. So, hey, once again, guys, welcome back, and welcome Dennis back to the table. Dennis, you got anything to say to our listeners?
Yeah, thank you, Sean, for having me on. It's always great to be back, and what a great topic. You always nail the right on the head. You come up with some really great topics, and what a great topic, the Church of Laodicea. And I believe a lot of scholars, and I'm right with them, believe that they are all categorized in seven church ages throughout history. When John wrote this, just maybe 80 AD, when he was on the island of Pasma, or I can't remember the name of that island, but God gave him a vision through the angel and through Jesus. And a lot of scholars believe today that we are church age today, that where we're at, they believe that we are that church, the Church of Laodicea. So great topic.
It is a great topic. You know, I kind of, you know, when I'm looking for my topics and stuff, I kind of ask God, hey, what do you want me to talk about? And of all places, I have things on Christian TikTok that I'm trying to get followers on there so that I can bring them over to the website so that they can look at and listen to the podcasts that we're producing, you know, to try to help them out with their everyday walk in the Christian life. And of all places, I was listening to it, you know, because I check out everything because I get followers all the time. I don't know, for those of you that are familiar with the TikToks, the Instagrams, the Twitters, the Facebooks, or whatever, you get followers. And so when I was checking it out, this guy pops up and says, "Don't scroll." So I stopped to listen to him for a second. And he had come across talking about lukewarm Christians. And this is what he said. I don't remember the guy's name or anything, but this is what he said. He said, the reason why lukewarm Christians are so dangerous is because you're doing enough for God to irritate the devil, but not enough for God to be out of the devil's control. So when I heard that, I thought, well, this is what God wants me to talk about. You know, it might be a last minute thing, but this is what he wants me to talk about. And I always say, you know, I'll say a little prayer before I do the podcast and stuff. Lord, let me be your mouthpiece. You speak through me. And this is what he came up with. I didn't come up with it, but this is what he came up with it. And so in this discussion, when what I did study, I started to question myself of being a lukewarm Christian. I was thinking to myself, am I completely sold out? You know, once we get into to this discussion, you'll see what I'm talking about. But in this we're going to discuss the Church of Laodicea and lukewarm Christians and how they relate. So, Dennis, you've got a couple of scriptures that you want to come up with, and go ahead and start out with the first one.
All right, Sean. Our my first one would be in James 4:4. You
adulterous people,
do you not know that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And to break that down, and Sean, I want you to correct me if I go off or if I'm wrong here, but I really believe that becoming a friend of the world, I believe it's the way the world, how they think, the world system.
Well, basically, I think what you're saying to me is you're trying to live in two different worlds.
Yeah.
But it's saying, us adulterous people, do you know the friendship with the world? If you're going to be a friend with the world, you're going to be an enmity with God. So basically, therefore, you're going to be an enemy of God because you're going to be a friend of the world. As Christians, what do we, when we talk about things, what do we say? There's the Christian community and then there's the world. So if you're going to be a friend with the world, how can you be a friend with a Christian community? You're going to kind of bring that worldly point of view or whatever into that Christian community, and that's going to cause havoc and chaos in that Christian community. Unless you're one of those churches that preach what you want to hear. So I don't know if that's what they're really saying, but in a sense, it kind of sounds to me like that's what they're saying. I always think that a Christian is like a baby. You're born, you're fed by your mother, which when you become a Christian, in order to be fed, you're fed by the word and you're fed by going to church. But as you get older, you begin to learn how to walk. When you learn how to walk, you're going to stumble and fall. And as you stumble and fall, it's easier to fall than it is to get up. It takes more energy to get up than it does to just to fall down. So if you're going to dabble in that world as a Christian, when you fall, each time you fall, it's going to be harder and harder and harder to get out of it. You see what I'm saying there?
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that. That's really good, Sean. You're right on. If I could just use like a topic, like if I just said, you know, homosexuality in the world of how they think, and the transgender movement, and all of that. Now,
that's worldly.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but we love people, we love the church, we love the people in the world, but we don't have to love their actions, and if they're going against what God's word says, so we have to love the person and hate the sin. And try to, if you, you know, try to steer them back to the word of God. And without a finger pointing or anything like that, you always want to do it with love. And Paul, the apostle, encouraged Timothy that when you're giving your testimony, I forget where it's at exactly, but Paul was trying to encourage Timothy to do it with kindness and gentleness. So whenever you're trying to share or correct and rebuke or train somebody in righteousness, in the word,
do it in love.
Do it out of love and respect and be a good listener. That's what I always said about Sean. Sean's a really good listener throughout all my years growing up. I used to tell him that all the time.
You just brought up a perfect example of Paul. What did Paul do when he was in the world? What did Paul do when he was in the world?
Well, he persecuted the church.
What did he do when he became a Christian?
Well, God took the scales and they fell off his eyes, and he started preaching to the Gentiles. And the word Gentile means you're not a Jew. Is that right? Yeah. So he thought he was doing good, and he was being legalistic and following the law to the T. And you got to remember, Paul the Apostle was, I forget the guy's name, in Acts, he was trained under. He was a thorough, he was
a murderer.
Yeah. Basically. And if you read the book of Philippians, I mean, if you want to put him on a ladder, I mean, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. He was trained to be a Pharisee. I mean, he knew the law from beginning to end, everything you can imagine. And yet God was showing him, nope, that's not what I have for you, Paul.
See, and that's where there's the difference between lukewarm and warm and cold. When he lived in the world, he was cold. But when Jesus came along, blinded him, then took the scales off his eyes, he was completely sold out to Jesus. He didn't dabble back into the world and play around with the worldly things, because if he played around with those worldly things still, I think he would have turned back being that cold-blooded killer.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
So I guess that's a perfect example of a person who was neither hot. Well, he was cold at one time, but then he turned hot. He wasn't lukewarm. He was never lukewarm. He, when he became a Christian, sold completely out to him. You know, you talk about there was some movie years ago that I think it was called Bedazzled, where so-called devil came along and said, I'll give you anything you want, but you have to sign a contract. And yeah, she gave him everything she wants, but it wasn't what he wanted. He sold out his soul to do the worldly things. But Paul, on the other hand, when those scales were removed, where he could see the truth between right and wrong, he sold out his soul to do God's work. So it's kind of like, I mean, we'll go to Revelation 3. I was reading this article on Luke, 8 signs you're lukewarm. In Revelation 3, it says Jesus criticized a church for being full of believers, which I think he's talking about the church of Laodicea, if I'm not mistaken, where neither were hot or cold, dead or unbelieving, but not on fire for Jesus. What Jesus was basically saying, it went on to say that Jesus likes it hot. Jesus likes hot coffee, or we like hot coffee, and maybe a cold, you know, you can buy those cold coffees in the refrigerated section. But when you take something and drink lukewarm, like a lukewarm pop or a lukewarm coffee, what do? You take a sip of that, and the first thing you want to do is spit that out. Jesus says, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. And it goes on to say in that same article that lukewarm Christians are those people who sit in churches and believe the message of the gospel, but are not really sold out to Jesus and not meaningfully engaged in his mission. So we were kind of discussing this earlier. You know, you get generation after generation after generation goes to church. And as the generations come down, like your father's father went to church, and when it gets down to you, you still attend that same church because it's a status quo. So that's basically saying that you're going just to go. Are you sold out completely for Jesus? Yeah, you sit in the pews, you believe, you get involved to a point, but are you sold out? So, I mean, think about that for a minute. I mean, are you sold out when you go to church? Not everybody that goes to church is sold out. You just go to church, like I just said, for a status quo.
That's a good point, Sean. And we were talking before we came on about this a little bit, and I can't remember the pastor's name that I was listening to the radio. He's one of my favorite speakers. He's just right on, and I can't remember everything exactly, but he was saying something about that if your parent, if your mom or dad or brother or sister or uncle or whatever was a Christian, a genuine, really honest Christian, and he was living or she was living a godly life, that's not transferred to you. Because you've got to get into the early book of Romans, and Paul explains that exactly, that the gift of righteousness, it comes from Christ. What he did on the cross, it's not transferred from another person to another person. So it comes down to the choice individually. And
well, what's it say? We're born into sin. We are born sinners.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you never truly surrendered and gave your life to Jesus, you're still a sinner sitting in that church.
Yep.
Just because your father's fathers or your parents went to that church and now you go to that same church doesn't mean you're saved. I think that kind of means you're more or less lukewarm. You know about Jesus, you believe in Jesus, but you're not doing what Jesus wants you to do. So,
yeah, and when he was talking about that, that hit me, and you know how true. And then, and then I find out Sean's doing this topic today, and I just thought that was really neat how it could fit right in. I have one other scripture too that I'd like to mention. It's 2 Timothy 4:3-4. And it says, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. they will turn away their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. And what Sean was bringing up in the beginning of this about the church, not all pastors, but there's a lot of pastors that are not hitting the sound doctrine of everything that's taught in the Bible. That maybe they're not talking about the blood a lot, or repentance, or having altar calls and healing, and talking about prophecy and having healing services, or maybe having services to just come in and pray, or not talking about the cross. And there's so many good topics, and we just don't want to get away from the sound doctrine that Paul always encouraged on Timothy. You got to remember, now Timothy was a young pastor, and so Paul the apostle took him under his wing and was really stern and firm with Timothy. And Timothy was a great young pastor, and he was one of our first forefathers in the church age. So,
you know,
I just thought that was really cool.
You're kind of, you're talking about the churches there in 2 Timothy. The thing that came to my mind was, years ago, there was a commercial for a fast food restaurant that says, "Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders don't upset us." Churches nowadays are kind of going with that theme. It's, we're coming into this church, we're paying our tithes, we're paying big bucks in our tithes and everything. We want to hear what we want to hear. Special order just for us.
Yeah, that's right on. Yeah, you're right.
So instead of when we were kids hearing that toe stomping stuff that kind of made you think, the stuff that they are pushing out, which does the Church of Laodicea does talk, kind of, there's a letter from, was it Paul that wrote the letter to Church of Laodicea, or who was it? I can't remember.
It was John,
yeah. But you know, they're talking about this in a way, and this is lukewarm Christians to a T.
Yeah, you're right.
We want, I mean, if you look at what's going on in the world, everything's made to where we accept everything that's worldly, and we still go to church and everything, but it's okay. Okay, it's okay for abortions. It's okay to be, you know, I don't want the homosexual community or the LGBT community to be upset or you know, white supremacy to get mad or stuff. It's to where we're accepting everything. We're not totally sold out for Jesus. If we were totally sold out, we would not agree with abortions. We would not agree. Yes, we don't have to fight about it.
Right.
We don't have to get angry and vile. And to me, if you claim to be a Christian, I've said it on one of my other podcasts, I don't remember which one it was, but if you claim to be a Christian and you have this hate spewing out of your mouth because of what's going on in this world, to me, you're not a Christian. Jesus didn't hate. He loved. And that's what he could, love thy neighbor as thyself. I say that, and I know people are cringing right now because I say that. Well, I can't stand my neighbor. That tells me right there, you're a lukewarm Christian. You're in it because it's a status quo of the community. You go to church because it's a status quo, because your parents did, and your parents and their parents, like we were talking about earlier. it's a status quo. So to me right there, that tells me you're lukewarm. Jesus said it would be better for you to be cold or hot than lukewarm. So
that's a good point, Sean. I just wanted to add to that. Ask yourself when you look yourself in the mirror and when you're alone at night, when you put your head on your pillow, just like Sean was saying, where am I spiritually? And one of my favorite Bible heroes or characters, it would be David, from the Old Testament. Wasn't it David, Sean, that he was a man after God's own heart?
Yeah, I think so.
And God just loved his heart. Did David fail a lot? Yes, he did.
He was an adulterer.
Yep. And a murderer.
And a murderer.
Because remember in the story,
he had his Bathsheba.
Yeah, her husband.
Her husband killed.
And put in the front of the army. He was killed. Yeah. So, but you know what? I think it's in the book of Hebrews. God chastises those he loves. And it's just amazing. Hebrews chapter 12. If you get a chance, read that. Where we don't know who the writer is of Hebrews, but we, chapter 12, the writer is talking about, you know, he's saying that we've all had these earthly fathers and we've respected them when they disciplined us and all of that. But God disciplines us for our love, for our good. And read that chapter, thoroughly read that, because as I'm just mentioning that, I'm getting goosebumps. It's just
spare the rod, spoil the child.
How much God really does love us, those that he has called, and that's the kind of father God that he is. Now, you might have a father that maybe you did not have a lot of respect to and love and in that, but God's His love is so above any other, you know, earthly father that we have. And I bring up David, just how he chased David. He just never let David be down in the pits. And if you read the Old Testament, David was, I mean, he was up and down a lot, but he never stayed down.
No, that's part of the walk of Christian life. I mean, it's not going to be an easy walk. I've talked about it before. It's not going to be an easy walk. You're going to have your ups. You're going to have your downs. But Jesus is always there. When we're talking about lukewarm Christians, we're talking about those that don't have a conscience anymore, basically. Mm-hmm. We're just going for... because our family went to church, you know, we believe in God and stuff. Yes.
Status quo.
It's a status quo. And.
Or it's like, Sean, it's like, I went to church today. I did this. Yeah, I did that.
That's being boastful.
You can go down the line and check.
Yeah. But then the other 6 days of the week, you're out clubbing, partying, committing adultery, cussing and swearing and I know there are churches out there that believe that cussing and swearing and stuff like that are okay. Is that one of those churches that are made to order? I think so, because so what if it's the way that people talk? Aren't we supposed to be a peculiar people, a people not of this world, as Petra used to sing, we are aliens, you know.
And don't forget, Sean, Ephesians chapter 4, I believe it says, Paul says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And so
we're supposed to set an example.
Exactly.
So let's take a break right here, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Welcome back. This is God's Amazing Grace podcast with Sean.
And welcome back from that break. Thank you for having patience with us. We live in Michigan, so it was around lunchtime when we started doing this. So the break we took was, we have a new sponsor. It's called Gene's Chili.
It was really, really good.
Actually, it's the wife's chili, and we had some chili for the break. And
it's beautiful outside, isn't it, Sean?
Yes, it's fall time here in Michigan. Fall reminds us of a couple of different things. Football. Number one.
Yep.
Number two, hunting. Number three, winter's coming.
Number four
is
apple cider.
Apple cider. Yep.
I love apple cider.
That's when they start picking the apples off the apple trees. And then their number five, fall comes chili time.
Yep.
So, yeah, because of the state of Michigan, you know, it gets a little chilly and stuff. But today it's in the 70s. It's nice out.
Yeah, it's nice out.
A little windy. We're inside kind of enjoying the company, but we should be outside enjoying other things. But this is more important. Saving souls is more important. But when we left, we were discussing the topic of the Church of Laodicea and how it relates in a way to lukewarm Christians. So Dennis has a few other scriptures he's going to read. And so he's going to start out with a scripture and give it a go.
Yeah. It's one that I believe all born again Christians, whether you're a newborn, you've been walking with the Lord 3, 5 years, or 60, 70, 80 years. I think it's one that we should always take a look in the mirror and ask ourselves. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Paul the Apostle is saying, "No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that I have preached to others. I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." And that was quite a statement from Paul the Apostle. But we have to look at ourselves every time we get alone and really ask ourselves where we are in the faith. And Paul is saying right there, basically, that when he says that he beats his body and he makes it a slave, I think he's talking maybe about maybe little habits or maybe,
maybe he's
disciplining, self-disciplining himself.
He's teaching his body discipline. You know, maybe he's by reading scripture, doing what God wants and stuff, you know, because every time we're as Christians and stuff, every time we fall, we have to repent and start over. What it sounds to me like he's kind of doing is he's beating his body into submission to where he's no longer a slave to sin. You know, because when you think of beating, and he does say something about slavery, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's saying he's making his body a slave to Christ, basically. He's beating it into submitting to Christ. I don't think it's a literal term of beating your body.
Right.
Literally.
No. Right.
It's just disciplining yourself.
Self-disciplining.
So that's part of not being a lukewarm Christian. That's part of being sold out to Jesus Christian.
And that's daily, ain't it?
That would be a daily. Is what scripture is that talks about doing it daily? Oh, I wish I could remember. I can't think of it offhand,
I can't remember. I know the one that you're thinking of, I think, but I can't remember.
I can't think of where it's at right now, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I think that's what he's doing, is he's disciplining himself to be completely sold out.
And the narrator is, he says, when Paul says he might be disqualified, he does not mean that he could lose his salvation. He's not talking about that he would lose his salvation, but rather that he could lose his privilege of telling others about Christ. It is easy to tell others how to live and then not to take our own advice. Ooh. We must be careful to practice what we preach. And have we not heard that?
Now I see with that perspective, I see what he was talking about.
That was the narrator explaining that verse.
Yes, he was talking about basically practicing what you preach. If you preach Jesus, then you have to live Jesus.
You better walk as Jesus did.
Going to church. If you preach, I believe in God, you better preach, I believe in God.
Yep.
So yeah, I see what he's saying now. I was wrong on that. Maybe, you know, but that's everybody's perspective. Don't forget that. That's the way they see it. And, but to me, that makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
So what other scripture you got?
I got one other one. It's a real small book from, again, Paul the Apostle. And in the New Testament, the book of Titus. It's a small little book toward the end. Titus 1:16. They claim to know God, but their actions, they deny him. They are detestable and disobedient and unfit for doing anything good. But wow, isn't that a statement at the very beginning? They claim to know God. How many people have you come across with who claim to know about God, but their actions deny him? So they've got to be coexisting together, don't you think, Sean? They both got to work together.
Well, look at what's going on today. Everybody's saying, yes, we believe in God and stuff. But look at the way politics is going.
Yeah,
one side hates the other side.
Yeah. It shouldn't be that way, huh?
That's not what they're saying here. That's saying, yeah, that's basically, that is too what they are saying, because they claim to know God, but by their actions, by what they're doing and what they're saying, they deny him. Well, we'll use the mega movement for instance. You know, a lot of them say they're God fearing, gun toting Christians. Isn't that kind of contradicting yourself by saying you're gun-toting? You're supposed to, yes, there is things that's called protecting yourself. I believe in that. I believe in protecting yourself.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Well, I'm a Trump fan too. I see the good that he has done.
Exactly.
But I'm just kind of saying this to show you, you know, to think about it for a minute to what's actually going on. And one side's hating the other. The so-called Make America Great movement, they're claiming to be Christians, but they're slinging out that hate just like the other side does.
Yeah.
You know, it's all hate. And a lot of them on the other side claim to be Christians, but they're okay with abortions. So I think that scripture is kind of saying they claim to know God. Yeah, I claim to know God, but I believe in abortions. Do you think God really believes in abortions? Murder is murder. Sin is sin. Either way you look at it. But by their actions, they're denying him. So that is telling me right there that because you believe in abortions, because you sling that hate out there by the words that you say, because of that, you're denying God. It says it right here in the scripture. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. That's where the lukewarm comes in. You believe in God. You say you go to church. You sit in that pew. But you're not completely sold out to him.
All right. And Sean, I just heard something on the radio not too long ago. Psalms 139 says that God knew you in your ma's womb. So there's proof right there that God cares and loves the unborn. And that is something to really think about, you know, and I just wanted to throw that out there, you know, and even in the New Testament, Jesus was always saying what?
Love thy neighbor as thyself.
Yep. Let the little children come to me.
Let the little children come to me.
And so, yes, God really does love the unborn. And I believe that they're in heaven, you know.
I believe so, too.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
You know, it's not that I'm trying to get into politics here. I told you guys from the beginning of this podcast, I will not get into politics. I won't get it. I'm just kind of throwing out there what is going on today.
Right.
Of mostly what I see is a bunch of lukewarm Christians going against a bunch of lukewarm Christians. They believe, but they don't practice what they preach.
Well, we just read about him, right?
In Titus. So, that being said, I mean, there's so much more that you can do to not be a lukewarm Christian. You know, I was kind of getting into this. I'd like to get into this stuff a little bit deeper eventually, maybe on another episode, because there is so many scriptures.
There's so many. Interesting.
I mean, there's scripture upon scripture upon scripture upon scripture of...
Unreal how many scriptures there are.
What's out there of talking about lukewarm Christians? The biggest way to get rid of that lukewarmness, you take a coffee, for instance. If you're doing it from a teapot, you put cold water into a teapot, turn it on until it boils. So I guess what you need to do there in this Christian walk is you accept Christ. And as you feed your soul and sell yourself completely to him, you begin to get hotter and hotter. Don't stop when it's lukewarm. Keep going. You want to be hot. Once you boil till it starts spewing out of you, go preach the gospel. Go spread the word. You should know by then your scriptures.
Yeah, and Sean... What out of the seven churches, what church was it that God sent the angel to tell John you have lost your first love. I don't remember.
I don't remember offhand either. That's where, you know, like we said, the scriptures get deeper and deeper and deeper into stuff.
But I just bring that up as, you know, because we're talking about lukewarm. I just want to encourage all believers out there that we cannot lose our first love. And, you know, how do you maintain that? Well, this is just an idea for me, but maybe what were you doing at the very beginning when you came to Christ? And what kind of things were you doing in your passion? And, you know, you were on fire. What were you doing then? And maybe now you have slipped away and not doing those passions and those things that you were doing from the beginning. Maybe take some baby steps and maybe go back. And
I think part of the problem with us is we become complacent. We start out on fire. It's kind of like sitting around a campfire. You light that wood on fire and it eventually consumes that wood. It becomes hot.
Yeah.
And if you don't feed that fire, what happens? It turns into coals. And eventually the coals get dimmer and dimmer and dimmer until they're gone. Now, granted, it's still going to have a little bit of heat to those ashes and the coals that are underneath. Is that lukewarmness? Could be. But it's going to eventually go to where it's completely cold. So taking that into consideration, we as Christians, when we become Christians, we feed our souls with the Word, getting into the Word, digging into the Word. Some of us eventually begin to say, well, I'll do it another time, or praying even, I'll do it another time. I don't have time right now. You know, that's another thing that causes a lot of lukewarm Christians too, is not having enough time. But that's a whole different story in itself too. But like I was talking about the fire, we become to where we don't feed that fire. We don't feed our souls. What happens? Just like those coals, our souls become colder and colder and colder until they're out. So the biggest thing I'm seeing is, as long as we keep feeding our souls spiritually with the Bible, church, I mean, even watching it on TV or whatnot, and praying and talking to Jesus every day, we're going to keep feeding that fire.
But Sean, as you were speaking, I was thinking, now back me up on this. Ain't we glad that God doesn't withhold His Spirit, take His Spirit out of us when we are maybe lukewarm for a little bit, but we don't stay there. Ain't you glad that God doesn't take His Spirit from us? You know, if we go up and down, you know, through life and the valley up and down, and you know, because I'm reminded of that scripture in Hebrews that says that He will never leave us or forsake us. So I believe, and Sean, you can back me up on this, that He doesn't take His Spirit from us when we're in that lukewarmness. Just don't stay there.
No, because you could become cold.
Exactly.
But it's better to be cold than to be lukewarm.
Right.
So, you know, we were gonna talk. I was gonna do this whole episode on 2 Timothy 3:1-5, but this kind of leads into lukewarmness. And it says, 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5, verse 1. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of God, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. This I say unto them, have nothing to do with such people. So those people that have all these things I just read have a form of godliness but deny its power. Lukewarmness, of course. It tells us as Christians to have nothing to do with them.
And Sean, just before I forget my train of thought, at the end, what you just said, having a form of
ungodliness.
Having a form of godliness, but denying its power of their. And I cannot help not to think. And we touched on this before we came on the broadcast. We talked about what's his name, Anthony
Robbins.
Anthony Roberts. He was Robbins. He's a famous
positive thinking,
positive
speaker. Motivational speaker.
Yeah, and that reminds me of that, having a form of godliness, because if you look at the outs of his speech and all of the things that he talks about, it sounds like it's a very godly thing, and it sounds biblical truth. And it, don't get me wrong, positive thinking is important, but if that's it, if that is your foundation, then I think you missed the whole mark, and that
you missed the boat.
What's underneath the motivation of the foundation? Well, it's got to be built on the gospel. It's got to be built on Jesus, and so
yeah, it's we were talking about that earlier, and nothing against Anthony Robbins. Yeah, he's probably helped a lot of people.
And he has.
But
if that's your theme of your message, ouch.
You're walking that fine line because it's not godly.
Because remember, we don't get to heaven by our own works.
What it is my wife works for community mental health. And what she said is what he is teaching is from the Hindu, was it Hindu religion or was it Buddhist?
Buddhist.
Buddhist religion, which also has part of the Hindu in it, Hindu religion in it. And she's got books from work and stuff that do tell you that that's the type of stuff they are. So in all actuality, when you do those motivational things, you are basically Buddhism and Hinduism. So
you're basically saying, Sean, Christ plus something else. Christ didn't do enough.
Yeah. I mean,
he did do it all.
He did do it all. He died for our sins. He hung up on that cross for our sins. When his own father turned his back on him, everything went black, pitch dark. And even some of the Roman soldiers knew who he was at that time.
Especially the one who knelt down, right?
Yep. So.
And what did he say? Surely this was the Son of God.
Of the living God.
That's so just amazing when you read that story.
So, I guess being a lukewarm Christian, you need to sell yourself out or you're going to miss the mark.
All the way out. Yep. I agree.
So you can play church, you can play holier than thou all you want, but you're not fooling the one that's most important.
Yeah, like you just said, you can fool some people some of the time, but
not all the time. You can't fool God.
Nope.
God knows.
God knows your heart.
Just remember, when it becomes judgment day, you're standing before God, and he plays upon that screen all the stuff that you've committed, that you didn't ask for forgiveness of, that you didn't truly repent of. And everybody's watching. And you're going to say, but I was a good person. I did this, I did this, I did this. Depart from me, I never knew you, are the last words you're going to ever hear, until you hear Satan say, welcome to hell. Think about that.
Sean loves the month of October.
So just remember that, you know, we're not here to condemn people.
No.
We're here to try to help people. That's what this podcast is all about.
Encourage people.
Encourage people. We're trying to show you the direct path. So get your eyes on that direct path. Sell yourselves completely out to him. You're going to lose a lot of friends, but you're going to gain a lot of friends. What's more important? Selling your soul or going to hell? Don't be a lukewarm Laodicean church follower. Get into a good church. Sell your soul to Jesus.
And Sean, I cannot forget to end with this. Toby Mac, if you don't have a CD, get and listen to Toby Mac. He sings a song about what if I gain the whole world
and lose
my soul? And think about that for a minute. Just kind of let that kind of sink in.
And we'll leave it at that. Until next time, we will see you again. Keep on growing and living the faith.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Apple, Google, Spotify, SND, many more. See you next time. This is God's Amazing Grace Podcast with Sean.